in the pew in front of you, right next to the songbooks and the hymnals on the right side. Should be some pens in there, and if not, raise your hand. We'll get one to you. Drop it in the offering plate. Give it to Pastor. Give it to me, whoever. It doesn't matter. A few announcements. This week, tomorrow night, there's ladies' Bible study in the library. Tuesday night's men's Bible study at Don's, unless things change. Wednesday night is Truth Trackers. Thursday, I think they go to our home, stuff like that. But Saturday, looks like they're going to do blankets at the church. So if you need a blanket, tell them what size so they can make it for you, maybe. I don't know. Any other announcements that I didn't bring up? If not, I'll lead in prayer and we'll get started. God, we want to thank you for a beautiful day. We're supposed to thank you for all things. And I know the farmers probably don't want to see the rain, but there's a reason. That way they got a break to fix or just to come to your house. We just praise and thank you for all the people that are here this morning. We pray for the ones that couldn't be here for whatever reason, whether it's sickness or they have a job. We know that everybody's busy, and that's what makes getting people into your kingdom tough, because everybody's got excuses. But we just praise and thank you for the people that are here, and we know that your spirit's amongst us, and we just praise and thank you for that. Welcome everybody that's here, and in your name we pray. Amen. So shake some hands and we'll get started. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Try that again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, we're going to turn our focus towards worship and music, and we're going to start off with a wonderful, joyful song called Trading My Sorrows. And, you know, the reality is that as long as we're in this flesh body, we're going to experience sorrows. We're going to experience shame, pain, frustration, and this song does not say that we're going to imagine that pain doesn't exist anymore, because it does. What this song says is we're going to choose to change our focus from what's holding us down to what's lifting us up, and that's Jesus Christ. So as we sing this song, lay those sorrows down at the cross and choose to put your attention on the love of your Savior. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. Say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed.
I'm blessed beyond the curse, for His promise will endure, and His joy is gonna be my strength.
Though the sorrow may last for the night, His joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. We say yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your Spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. You, my King, should die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit lives within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you. You are my King. You Jesus, you are my King. You are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, should die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do, to honor you in all I do. Let me honor you. Something beautiful, something good, all of my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good, all of my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life.
Okay, the last one for our worship set this morning is Sovereign Over Us.
There is strength within the sorrow. There is beauty in our tears. And you meet us in our mourning with a love that casts out fear. You are working in our waiting. You're sanctifying us when beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust.
Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You are wisdom unimagined. Who could understand your ways? Reigning high above the heavens, reaching down in endless grace. You're the lifter of the lowly, compassionate and kind. You surround and you uphold me, and your promises are my delight. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and for your glory. And even in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory. Even what the enemy means for evil, you turn it for our good. You turn it for our good and for your glory. Even in the valley, you are faithful. You're working for our good. You're working for our good and for your glory. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You're with us in the fire and the flood. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You're faithful forever, perfect in love. You're faithful forever and perfect in love. You are sovereign over us.
You may be seated. Would our ushers please come forward for our morning offering? Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you are perfect in every way. Your love is amazing. You owe us nothing. And Lord, what we deserve, you don't even give us. We deserve judgment and condemnation, punishment. But Lord, in your gracious plan, in your sovereign will, you chose to put that punishment on your Son. And instead, you desire to give us grace, mercy, peace, and love. And so, Lord, we worship you. We worship you for your love. We worship you for your grace. We worship you for the work that you're doing in our lives to convert us from a filthy sinner into somebody who is mature in your Son. Lord, it's amazing how you can change a life. You can change our wills, our desires, our habits, our emotions, even our body. But Lord, our ultimate desire is to be with you. And one day we will do that. We will spend eternity in your presence. And then we will know the fullness of joy. But until then, Lord, a shadow. And we must confess it. We must choose to put our attention on it and walk in it. Lord, as we gather this offering for you this morning, Lord, we recognize that it's just a gift from us. Recognizing the work that you're doing in our life, recognizing that it is you that give us all good things. Lord, it is you that give us the strength to go out and perform the work that you have set out for us to do. So, Lord, as we gather up this offering, Lord, help us to do indeed. Thank you. May it be an offering from a grateful heart, from a loving heart towards you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, for an offertory this morning, we're going to be singing a song that some of you who have come to church early have heard us practicing for quite some time, but this song is called The Ruins, and it's a really beautiful song, but it's a song that we played at Bible study at our home a lot, and a lot of the kids really connect with its message, and I'm sure many of you will as well. I am the one who builds my home. Stone by stone on the shore, I always thought my house would stand. Every wave swept it all away. I'm found by you.
When I'm buried in the rubble, and all I built has crumbled, can you see me in the shadows when all that I have left fades away? Find you in the ruins that remain. I am the one who ran away, far from home, into the unknown.
But you turned and came right after me. You found the trails of my betrayal. I'm found by you. When I'm buried in the rubble, and all I built has crumbled, can you see me in the shadows when all that I have left just fades away? I find you in the ruins that remain. Oh, to build this house upon thy rock, and it will never fall. It will never fall. Oh, to build this house upon thy rock, and it will never fall. It will never fall. Oh, to build this house upon thy rock, and it will never fall. It will never fall.
When
I'm buried in the rubble,
and all I've built has crumbled,
can you see me in the shadows
when all that I have left fades away? And I find you in the ruins that remain.
Thank you very much. Just thought of that while listening. When we were on our trip, we went to D.C., and Pastor was at the Museum of the Bible. It opened up, like, what, a couple of years, 3 years, maybe. It's not very old. And we got to go. But one of the things about that is, I guess one floor, is several sections about the influence of the Bible in culture, from music. That's what triggered my mind to remember that. Music to art and architecture, I mean buildings, and so many other things, even sports. When I listen to the radio during the week, I know there's one little 2-minute clip of something about the Museum of the Bible, and one recently was about Eric Liddell, I think it was, when he did not run in the Olympics because of he was a Jewish background. He said, I cannot run on the Lord's Day. So the influence of the Bible around the world and all that. So music, definitely a huge, huge part of our world. just thinking back. Remember in India, that droning music that we'd hear across the valley? Okay. Christian music is so much better. Variety and whatnot to it. And it has a message. In fact, I was just thinking the first song about choices. I mean, basically it was like choices and choosing to do things. I remember Wayne Cash, he was an administrator at school at Mitchell Christian. And he would take, if somebody had a discipline issue, He'd bring that kid in, fourth grader or fifth grader from Gail's class one time. Sat him down in the room, in the office, said, what'd you do? This and this and this. You've got a choice. you chose to do that. And that was 15, 20 years ago, and that last impression on me, I tell you what. Anyway, let's go ahead. We'll have a little time of prayer. Christine's gone, but Jack had the surgery and on the ear and everything. That went well, evidently. So we've got that. We've got Jess, is it? Jesse?
Jetson.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just abbreviated it. Yes, Jetson. And that is tomorrow? Tomorrow. Procedures there. Delmer, have you heard any update? We've been praying. Oh, okay. So, well, that may be helpful.
The heart issue is good, though. The heart issue is good.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. We need to pray for Elroy and Ruth. They're discouraged about finding medical help.
Yeah. Okay. Elroy and Ruth, be praying for you guys for that. Definitely, yep. I didn't check, but Randy or Ellen with your mom, Bertha, she okay? Just.
Oh, Randy.
Yeah, okay. Just I noticed that she was not in Sunday school, and I meant to ask earlier. So anybody else? Prayer. Yes, Jeremy?
The guy I work with at workplace that was fighting cancer, his sister just had a stroke yesterday.
Oh.
So pray for his family.
Okay.
Just follow God. And, turn to him.
Okay.
Pastor, how is Kathy?
Slow but steady progress. Not near as fast as she wants.
Okay. Don't see any hands up for others, so we got to always have a few things, but we'll try to remember these as well and go on. So let's have a few moments in prayer, and then we'll let Pastor come up and do some teaching. Oh, Pastor.
I want to share one more. On Thursday night, I had a young man come into Bible study.
Okay, thank you, Pastor. Always enjoy update of something from our home and young people and the need there. So, All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll continue with our morning, our worship time. Father God, we come before you today. We're just so grateful for each and every one who is here. We know, Lord, in your word that you say that you draw us together, you draw us close to you. And so, Father, as we sometimes we get up in the morning, we feel like, it's gray, dreary, we don't want to go, I've got a aching back or something. And Lord, the interest and desire to learn who you are and to be with other brothers and sisters in Christ is always part of what compels us to come and ultimately, Lord, to come in a body of believers who, even as we studied today in our Sunday school, that looking back at King David and the man after God's own heart and how flawed he and each one of us is, and yet we can be, like David, quick to repent and to be remorseful and to know that, that was not a right thing to do. That was sin in our life, and it also goes back to a choice. And so, Father, we pray that your Spirit would help us more and more each day when we face challenges and choices, that we choose the one that will be pleasing to you and following you. So, Lord, with that in mind, we pray, too, that we really do think of you as sovereign and your perfect love that we sang about a few minutes ago. And you want to shower us with your love and your presence and a spiritual unseen presence. Father, today we don't want to lose sight of the reality that we are part of this world and the things that go on, and again, because of sin in our lives and in the world, that we get to be faced with challenges, and these are times of going through the heat to be refined into what you want us to be. And so, Lord, when it comes to so many of these physical issues, we know from the aging aspects, from Bertha being gone because of just a tired and worn out, wanting to rest, to Delmer and Elroy and Ruth and some of the things that they're trying to handle now with, again, just wanting some medical attention and help and the best choices to get that, and also that the people would be there to help them to recognize or determine what the need is and then prescribe or give a decent remedy for that and to work on so that the physical aspect would be more tolerable and helpful for them. And then others can be younger ones, and we've got the young people within our the prayer list and concerns that Jack had that successful surgery this week on his ears, and we've got Jetson coming up this week, tomorrow with procedure with his dealing with the digestive and all that kind of line of things, and so many others that go on. And so, Father, we just pray that some of those can be relieved, and we pray for Pastor's family, the sister, as well as his grandfather, and some of the things that are being worked on there. And again, just that life can be more enjoyable when we can get over some of those problems and issues. And then Jeremy's friend there at work, and the sister that had the stroke, and the things that sometimes seems like it becomes complicated and multiplied with our issues. And so, Father, we just, again, if people don't rely on you and have a connection and tie to you, I don't know where they would gain their strength. And so, Father, we just need to be allow us to be the encouragement for them where necessary, and also, Lord, in some ways, as pastors said about this boy at our home, that they got the word, but they don't know like where to start or how to use it. And I pray, dear Lord, that each of us, with multiple copies of your word in our home, that we use it and that we read it and open it that the dust never collects, but that we can also take it to those around who are in really dire and desperate need of knowing who you are for their just for their day-to-day walk in business. Father, for so many other concerns that we may have, we pray, Lord, that you would touch, especially be near those who are dealing with issues. We've got some who are looking at job and work dilemmas and wanting work or changing jobs. We've got people who are certainly our leaders in the nation and local and all the way in between. So we pray for what your will is, and sometimes it's to bring good things, and sometimes it's you allow the crud to be part of that. And so, Lord, give us the grace to work through all aspects of that. We do especially want to be in prayer because of our local situation in economy and how that plays out, especially with farmers. And as we talked in a week ago in Sunday school, that even if we're not directly related to that as our income, Father, that we ultimately are going to be affected in some way with prices of food and things. And so, Lord, we are going to be touched by some of those outcomes. Father, for again, just for this time, we could continue praying specifically for all kinds of issues and all of the people listed in the bulletin. So to curtail that a bit and give more time to Pastor for the word from you to be shared and spread, we just again pray that all aspects of what's on your heart for us to pray about, Lord, would just be lifted up. And Father, give us the understanding and the presence of mind to know that again we place it in your hands and in your trust. Father, we ask now your Spirit again just be with us through the rest of this service. Again, we ask, Lord, that our hearts would be ready to accept what you've got for us today. And thank you once more for Pastor, his family, and for their leading in our church today. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is good. It's true. It's true. All the time?
God is good.
Amen. Well, today we were coming to the end of something we started a while ago. And that is our series on the family. Now, at the beginning of this series, I did say that I was going to get to all of your questions. And if I haven't covered your question, feel free to text message me, email me, call me this week, and let me know what it is. And if we haven't covered it, I'd be glad to do that. But I want to close out this series on the family. I was going to preach one more sermon on the wife, just to make sure. No, I'm just joking. No, I actually was going to preach a sermon on the wife and just the influence, just the amazing influence a godly woman can have in a family. And I decided against that, and instead I want to just kind of communicate that part of the story of the family is not just the individual unit, but you are a part of a legacy. Your family is a part of a bigger family. You have parents, and they have parents, and they have parents. And so you are a part of a bigger story, a legacy. And you're playing a part in that legacy. And so that's what I want to look at this morning, is a family, a legacy. You know, when you think about family, when you think about identity, individuality, one of the first questions that you ask somebody when you meet them is, maybe, what's your name, right? But then after you get those things out of the way, what's usually the first question people ask? What's that? Where do you live? What do you do? Are you related to? Where are you from? Right? What's your story? What's your background? Right? How old are you? Yeah. Those are a lot of good questions to ask somebody. Where do you come from? That's what we want to know. Where'd you come from? Right? Who are you? And where did you come from? In Luke chapter 3, Luke answers this question about Jesus. Verse 21 says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. And Jesus began his ministry about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Matthew. And it lists a whole bunch of people through Noah, all the way back to Adam, who was the son of God. And so we see here the dual nature of Christ, fully man, born of the son of Adam, and also fully God. Who are you and where did you come from? I was hoping to find it and bring it over here this morning. I have my great, great grandma's Bible. And it has in there the family tree. And I couldn't find it. And then somewhere around here we have a big, huge family Bible. I was going to hold that up, but I couldn't locate that this morning either. So just imagine here, I'm holding a Bible, and it's got a big family tree in it. And the question is, what's your family story? What's your family tree? Who's in there? What did they accomplish? Maybe for some of you, you're the descendant of someone great. Every once in a while, you meet somebody and they say, oh, my great-great-grandfather is so-and-so. Right? Or maybe you have a few more sinister relatives in your past. I remember meeting somebody. I didn't meet them actually. I saw a video. They were introducing themselves as the son of a mass murderer. Wow. What would that life be like? What were you given? What were you given? The reality is, each one of us starts life somewhere. Proverbs 27 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. We hear a lot today in society about privilege, people having privilege. And it is true that people do have privilege. The part that society gets wrong is that privilege is a bad thing. Privilege is a wonderful thing. And I recognize, especially going to our home each week, that I am greatly privileged. Privileged beyond measure to have grown up in a home where my parents loved each other, were committed to each other, and loved God, and were committed to following Him. The greatest privilege I have is Christian privilege. The privilege of being raised in a Christian home. Some of you didn't have that privilege. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Note that it does not say the church-going man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. It's the righteous man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Numbers 14:18 says, "The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But He by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation." And maybe some of you in your family history did not have a man who walked in integrity, a righteous man. But maybe you were the son of somebody like my former pastor would describe as a good example of a bad example. Maybe that's what you had for a father. I don't want to grow up and be like him. What were you given? Wish I could remember the full details of this story, but Dwight was telling me one time, I don't know if it was a story he heard or if it was his dad or what, but anyway, his father would teach his boys how to do different things, make a birdhouse, fix their bicycle, all these just little different things, and they would watch their dad and they would do it with him. And they thought their dad knew everything. I mean, there just wasn't anything that he didn't know how to do. Everything a boy would want to know how to do, man, their dad was all over it. Come to find out, every day when they had that project, the day before, the father was at the library learning how to do that thing. Because his father didn't show him how to do it. He didn't have that history. He didn't have that knowledge. He had to go find it so that his sons could have it. And so maybe you didn't start with what you want your kids to have. And so if that is the case, you had to change the legacy of your family. You had to change the direction, or maybe I should say you're working to change the direction of your family. Redeeming the legacy of your family. There's a lot of people who will say, oh, I was the first one in my family to graduate from college, right? Different things like that. What a wonderful thing. Building a legacy. Here is the reality. Everyone is building a legacy. You are going to leave a story behind about yourself. What will that story be? But we are so blessed in this church to have many wonderful families that have been around a long time and created a great amount of influence on people that come through this church. We had the 125th anniversary, was it 2 years ago already? Last year? A year ago this time? Yeah, 1 year ago. Not that old yet. Okay, good. And hearing people, stories, right, of families and how they impacted other families. What an amazing thing that is. Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of the warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate." Here's the reality. In building our family legacy, if it isn't built on Christ, you're building it in vain. You can build all the wealth that you want, but if it isn't on Christ, if it isn't on love, then it's nothing. One of my favorite shows is Due South. Anybody ever seen it? Go online, buy some old seasons, and watch that show. It is a great show. But one of the shows I've told you about before, one episode, the Canadian Mounted Police, he's in Chicago working with the Chicago cop. And this guy is a bank robber. He's going to burn himself up with a part of the money so he can leave the rest of his money to the son. Instead of splitting it five ways, which what they had planned, he was going to kill all the bank robbers and himself and leave all the money to his son. And the Mountie figured out what he was going to do. And so he's standing there in the place where they're all going to meet. And the dad is telling this Mountie how close he was to making it. He just wanted to buy a present for his son, and he was $4 short. And he said, "That caused me to realize that if I died then, I would leave nothing to my son." And he said, "That's not right. A man should leave something for his son." And so he was going to do this last heist so that he could leave this money for his son. And no, this isn't a Bible verse, but the Mountie did say something that was just absolutely true. He said this: "All that a father needs to leave his son is an example of how to be a man." He said, if you don't leave your son an example of how to be a man, you leave him nothing. You leave him nothing. And that is so true. Wealth without a foundation of who you are, we've seen it. You can see it on TV. It's gone in an instant, right? The foolish son goes off, and for a time, he's wonderful, everybody loves him, and then the money's gone, and so is his fame, right? And we see it in the tabloids. Oh, look at so-and-so. They're horrible looking. They lost all their money. Unless it's built on God's principles, you're building it in vain. But if we do what God wants us to do, if we're faithful, then God will bless. Psalm 128 says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. And behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. When we walk in God's ways, He blesses us. Does that mean trials and tribulations don't come? Absolutely they come. Absolutely they come. But God blesses those who fear Him and walk according to His ways. Verse 3 says, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. You know, there's an old cliche that behind every good man is a good woman. And it is true. It is so true. I mean, you could look back through history and think of great men. One of the, if we look at Proverbs 31, one of the things that the Proverbs 31 woman does is she runs the household in such a way that the man is able to spend time supporting the community. One of the things that you see the Proverbs 31 husband doing is he sits in the city gate as a judge. Now, back then, they had a rotation of judges. And you would sit there in the city gate when it was your turn. Part of the Proverbs 31 woman is to be very competent, so competent that your husband can then spend time going out and helping other families, helping the community, helping the government. Right? The biblical woman is not a weak woman. She is a very strong woman. And she's like the vine at the center of the home, holding things together. So the husband can go out and conquer the enemies, can go out and protect the family, can go out and do the business that he needs to do. And when we walk according to God's ways, He blesses all of these things. One of my favorite stories about family and about leaving a legacy is the story of Delmar and Carol and Sophie. Because I am pretty sure, I am pretty convinced that if it wasn't for Delmar saying, whoever's at my farm on Sunday morning is going to church, if it wasn't for that policy and that faithfulness to God, Sophie would not be a Christian today. I am quite convinced of that. What a legacy that he has because of a little decision that he made to walk according to God's ways. And that isn't the only one. You can look back in your family history. The name for me is Joe Huntsinger. He's the guy that led my dad to Christ. If it wasn't for him, I would not be standing before you today as a pastor, most likely. I don't even know if I'd have been born. But if I had, it would have been into a different family. You are leaving a legacy. Let that legacy be a beacon for generations. Let the legacy that you leave impact generations to come. Not a legacy of disgrace. Psalm 78:12 says, "Marvelous things He, God, did in the sight of their fathers, in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime He also led them by the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness, and He gave them a drink in abundance of the depths. And He also brought streams out of the rock and caused the waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against Him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for food of their fancy. And yes, they spoke against God. They said, 'Can God prepare a table in the wilderness?' Behold, He struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide meat for His people?" "Therefore the Lord heard this and was furious. And so a fire was kindled against Jacob. And anger also came against Israel, because they did not believe in God and did not trust His salvation." Will that be your legacy? Instead of responding to God and the many opportunities of grace that He gave you, instead of walking according to the ways that you know that you should, that God has laid out for you, you reject them and say, "God, I got a better way. I know a shortcut." I hope that's not your legacy. I hope your legacy that people tell, that your kids tell about you, is that you followed the Lord. That you are one of the strong links in the chain. 2 Chronicles 34, 31 through 33. It's talking about King Josiah. King Josiah started being a king at how old? 8 years old. Who in here is 8 years old? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're 8 years old. Yeah, a couple. Stand up if you're 8 years old. How would you like to be president today? Zach sits down. Camden's still in the running. Or Braden's still in the running. King Josiah became king at 8 years old. And it says he served the Lord. And he started clearing out all the filth out of Israel. All the false idols. All of these things that he knew was against the true God of Israel. And then he started to restore the temple. And while they were restoring this temple, they found this thing called the law that had not been read for many years. And so they got the people together and they read the law. In verse 31 it says, "The king stood in his place and he made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep His commands and His testimonies and His statutes with all of his heart and all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. And he made all who were in present in Jerusalem and Benjamin take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers, and Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God all his days. And they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers." Excuse me. I pray that that is your legacy. I pray that you remove all of the abominations from your family. I pray that you are the one who is strong and overcomes the strongholds in your family by God's grace through faith, and you conquer them. And you set out a light for your family that can be followed, that people can look up to, because you are the one who committed to following God. You were the one that stood up and said, I'll be the one that changes the redirection of this family. I'll be the one who causes people to diligently serve the Lord their God all of their days. And you set that example. The family is something that God created before sin ever entered into the world. It was part of God's perfect creation. It's a beautiful thing. And when you have a man, a strong man, who's committed to serving God and overcoming anything that would come up against him, and you have a strong woman who's committed to serving God and serving her husband, there is nothing that can come against this family. God will use that family to bless the entire nation, the entire community, the entire world. We are blessed today because of Abraham's faith. One man who God said, hey, I want you to leave your family and go out to a new place where I'm calling you to. And he said, okay. And he did it. And because of his faith, we all sit here today. Because we are the faith of Abraham. One family can make a difference. One family can leave a legacy. And let that be your family. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, what an amazing design you have for a man and a woman to willingly come together and build something that can be so very strong. It can bear a heavy load. An impossible load. And Lord, when you are the foundation, when you are the source of that family, Lord, we've all seen it. Lord, just how your love is multiplied exponentially. And people are blessed far and wide. And Lord, we have also seen the heartbreak that comes when a member of the family dishonors themselves and falls away from you. So Lord, I pray that we would be people that would repent of our wrongdoing, that we would take responsibility for our actions, and Lord, that we would serve you, that we would build our lives on your foundation. And Lord, some of us have a past. We recognize, like that song, that our lives at one point fell apart and we were just left in the rubble. But Lord, even in the rubble, you find us. And you're willing to help us even use that past for our good, to help others who have been there, to show them the way. Lord, you do not leave us. And you're willing to save anyone who would come. Lord, I pray that you would bless our families. Lord, not because we live in Parkston, not because we go to Memorial Baptist Church, not because we live in South Dakota or even America. Lord, I pray that you would bless us because we follow you, because we have made a commitment to put you at the front of our lives, to follow your commandments, your ways. Lord, that we don't do anything that you wouldn't want us to do. And Lord, I pray as fathers that we would lead our families in your ways. And Lord, I pray that mothers would build up their husbands, listen to them, follow them, teach their children to do the same. They're not perfect, but Lord, you know none of us are. But Lord, I pray that you would build up these families in this church to be rock solid, faithful to you, and a blessing to this community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please stand for our final song, 429, They'll Know We Are Christians.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, from all things come. And all praise to Christ Jesus, His only Son. And all praise to the Spirit who makes us. By our love.
One thing I do want to note is if you're in your elder years, sometimes we think, what does God have left for me? And just remember that you are the only example that your family has of how to finish well. So finish well. We need godly examples of that. Let's close in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for my family, for my dad, for my grandpa, for even my great-grandpa. Lord, the legacy that they left for me to follow. Lord, what a rich foundation I have. Watching my father build a family on your principles, Lord, it's an amazing advantage. But Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us, wherever we're at in that journey, to be faithful to you and to build up strong families that will last generations, built on your word, built on your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're dismissed.